That day is a testament to the strength and courage of so many.
These heinous acts of violence, they are an assault on the security and the freedom of every American citizen.
September 11th, 25 years later, still feels like yesterday. We all remember where we were, and it's a reminder of how much has changed since then.
It is 9:07. It is the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. And yes, we are remembering today. And obviously, Bob, you know, both of us working in radio at that time will never forget where we were, as most folks, I think, never will if they were old enough to remember that day.
Absolutely. I was working radio in Orlando in the afternoon, talk radio. And, you know, I had to take my then wife to an orthopedic appointment, a follow up on she'd broken her ankle. So, we're getting a checkup on that. And we knew the orthopedic surgeon. He was a friend of ours that, you know, I actually played softball with, Dr. Nowicki, really nice guy. And so, you know, we had a friendly relationship. And, you know, he comes into the room and says, "Hey, a plane just hit the World Trade Center." And I go, "Man, I wonder what that's all about." Mm-hmm. Thought maybe a small plane, you know, it's a huge building, so you can't miss it. But, you know, if you have a medical emergency and you're the pilot, things happen.
Yeah.
And that was what first drew my attention. And then when he came in the second time and said, "Another plane just hit the building, and these are not little planes."
Right.
Then I went into mode of, you know, okay, you know, what do I need to do? I probably need to go get on the air and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember as we were driving there to the appointment, it was just one of those perfect clear days. It was one of those days where you could say, "Hey, even here in the heat of Central Florida, today feels like a fall day."
Yeah.
It was lack of humidity, very clear skies, not a cloud in the sky. It was just one of those absolutely gorgeous days that made you think, "Gosh, today's going to be a great day."
Yeah.
And then, you know, things unfolded.
I was working at a contemporary Christian station in St. Louis at the time, and we didn't have, you know, because we didn't really think that we needed it, we didn't have video TV screens in our studio. Those were in our newsroom with our news person, and I could hear her through a little speaker just to the left of me, and she said at that moment that a plane had hit the tower. And we, like you, everybody thinks, okay, you know, somebody messed up, you know, it's big buildings, but it's a busy, you know, air traffic is crazy up there. And then realized it was a jet, and then the second one, and then everything kind of went into crazy kind of semi-panic mode as you're trying to figure out, okay, what is happening? I will never forget, because all of a sudden people were rushing, parents were rushing to pick up their kids at school because they didn't know. We didn't know how widespread this was. We didn't know, are they going to be attacking every American city? You know, we had military bases around the St. Louis area. We built military aircraft there. We're thinking, okay, hey, Missouri is a target because we've got all these things, because we really just didn't know.
No, we didn't. And you know, that was bad enough to have these jets flying in, and we knew this was not an accident at that point. But it still, for me, wasn't within the realm of that the tower could collapse. I remember right away, because I had to prep to do my show.
Yeah.
I'm reading that, you know, these buildings were built with a certain, you know, to withstand a jet aircraft actually crashing into them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the engineering was done, planes were, you know, a lot smaller.
Right.
Well, quite a bit smaller and less fuel capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and of course, it was only guesswork anyway, from an engineering standpoint, what they could sustain.
Sure.
But as it turns out, you know, these planes loaded with fuel, I mean, when you saw that tower come crashing down, that was just a whole nother level of a surreal thing that you're living through, almost a pinch yourself moment.
Right. Well, again, stop and think how iconic those buildings were. You cannot watch a movie that was filmed in New York before that day that did not include a picture of the skyline that included the Twin Towers.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, that's what makes that skyline so epic and unforgettable, because that's not duplicated anywhere even close around the world.
Now, we did have the hindsight, though, if you stop and remember, you know, the Empire State Building back in the day was hit by a plane, which I think probably, in a sense, gave, you know, builders the forethought to go, oh, these things can happen. But like you said, jets got a lot bigger from in the 90s when these buildings were, you know, were being built.
And I don't think anybody thought, can they sustain a crash?
Yeah.
Didn't think of it as the plane being weaponized.
No.
They just thought, you know, random fog conditions, lack of instrumentation, you know, just a perfect storm of, you know, errors, mistakes, or things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking, well, someday somebody might actually try to steer a jet full of people right into the middle of one of these buildings.
Now, we grew up in an era of hijackings, and that's what a lot of the security things started for us growing up at airports. Because, face it, 60s, early 70s, they usually ended well, though. The people who would hijack a plane would, and it could be a passenger jet, they would get to the country they wanted to be in, they would get off, and everybody would home. We never thought of, like you said, it progressing as an act of terrorism in this sense. And, of course, then that changed everything at American airports and airports around the world.
Well, and if we're going to be students of history and use it to learn about the future, what are we not thinking about now that perhaps we should be a little bit more proactive in, you know, what could be the next target? We have to think way outside the box.
Well, because the terrorists have a whole different... They have obviously have a whole different way of thinking anyway. They don't think like Americans. They are thinking very negative. They are thinking very bad things. And then they are always, you know, analyzing what we do, trying to figure out how to get around it. And that's why, you know, the shoe bomber, we had that to deal with, and the liquids. And so they're always coming up with something to take advantage of our free way of life, that they can use that then causes a terrorist act to happen, but then also ends up changing our life again because, okay, I'm getting ready to go on a plane at the end of October. Here's all these things we're looking at of what you can and can't do, what you can and can't carry, what has to be checked, what can't be checked. And so we didn't even think about – before it was like, okay, don't take any guns and no bombs on the plane. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, that is correct. As we revisit 9/11 25 years ago, today, people are dealing with this in different ways. Memorials all around the country, including a very, very large gathering in New York City. The students at Embry-Riddle, the ROTC students, are honoring the 9/11 first responders with memorial stair climbing. So they're doing 2,100 steps in honor of those first responders at the Daytona International Speedway. And big events are happening in places all around the nation, obviously.
And so, yeah, we remember the 3,000, almost 3,000 that died on that day. But also, again, it's easy to forget because we don't hear about it. Nearly 9,000 people have died since then because of responding, of being there, of breathing in the chemicals and the things those buildings were built with and insulated with. And so multiple types of cancers we never even thought about before then. And we want to remember those families because while it may not have been day of, a lot of them had to live with those things for many years until they lost their loved one.
Well, Ronald Reagan, you know, in his great words, you know, told us that, you know, this kind of freedom that we enjoy is only a generation away from being lost.
Mm-hmm.
And those words ring true, and there are different markers. And, you know, 2001, November the October the 11th is definitely, I'm sorry, September the 11th. It's one of those days that is kind of marked as one of those days where things could have gone differently. We could have reacted differently. And instead, we got united. We looked out for each other, and both sides of the aisle came together. And that's at least one of the positive takeaways, if we can find one of those.
No, and I think we need to, again, like you said earlier, we don't need a tragedy to hopefully bring us together, but we've got to find a way to be that America once again. We are coming up on 9/16. We are celebrating those lost, those lives, that special day that we will not forget. September 11th of 2001. It's the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
September 11th is a day that we all remember, even 25 years later.
We will read all these names. We will linger over them and learn their stories.
The heroes who stepped up remind us of America's strength every single day.
May he bless the souls of the departed, and may he always guide our country. God bless America.
Approaching 9:21 on a very solemn day today in the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. And we're talking about all kinds of things regarding that day, where we were, the things that we remember, the feelings that we experienced, the things that have changed our day-to-day life, the things that are different. But also, Bob, I wonder, we touched on this just a little bit earlier, it's like, what do we need to do different in the future as we look at what is now this new world order? And the Iranians, all the terrorist groups that they fund, it's like, do we need to look differently at them? And as we have Americans defending them from time to time, it just blows our minds. Do we need to deal with them differently and in that more kinetic way that we talk about sometimes?
Yes, that is one of my things that I... Maybe we need to find a new path.
Yeah.
The problem is some cultures, some folks don't understand anything other than sheer strength and destruction.
Right.
And how do you overcome that in a more cerebral way? How do you overcome that and say your life doesn't have to be all about hating and wanting to kill or take over, you know, another culture or another religion, you know? Live and let live. You know, the greatest warrior is the one who conquers himself. You know, the idea of jihad really was supposed to embrace the internal enemies that we all possess, those of like greed and temptation that keeps us from being living to our best human potential. That's what jihad was really supposed to be all about, is taking on yourself. And so we all need to have some self-determination that we're going to try to be day in and day out a better version of ourselves. And then how that's reflected nationally. We have been a very kind and very giving country. We don't go around looking for fights. They have been brought to us. And so moving forward, I'm not sure. Changing cultures is not easy. We found that lesson out many times, including... in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
When we said, you're free, and they go, all right, let's go kick each other's butts all day in the streets. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're missing the point. And they're like, no, this is the point. This is our culture. This is what we do. This for generations. This is how they've been raised. So I don't know, but I can tell you this, that in our nation, you know, if you don't want to accept something like American exceptionalism, you know, that's one thing. But if you want to root for bad guys that want to kill, in other words, there is nothing that should be accomplished politically through violence, especially violence against innocent people.
Right.
That's where you have to draw the line. But there are some people in our country that they side on the side of terrorists. They think that, well, you know, you have to fight against the oppressors and this is a way to do it. Well, are your oppressors the innocent people among you? No. So, but you attacked innocent people to what? To get attention to your cause? I don't know where anything bad has happened to an innocent person. And I said, hey, man, thanks for making a good point. Now I'm on your side. Let's go kill some more innocent people.
Right.
There's no logic behind any of this.
Well, unfortunately, it has crept into different ways of American life. I'm taking a little bunny trail here. You stop and look at the on-the-street assassination of Mangione, where we are at a point where there are an alarmingly high percentage of Americans who think that violence and death is okay if you disagree enough. the killing of Charlie Kirk. We talked about that yesterday. Mangione, walking down the street, family man. Yeah, you're a CEO of a healthcare company. And yet there are Americans who defend the killer. What has happened? What has trickled down into our society where not only on an international level, but a local level in our own backyard, they think it's okay? That's a mindset that has been allowed to grow in our country, and that's really sad.
Hey, let me paint a picture for you from a police reporter that was on the job in Manhattan that fateful day 25 years ago. I was getting ready for my job as a police reporter for the New York Post. I saw on TV that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. By the time I got to Manhattan, the buildings had already fallen. Mm. As I got closer to the devastation, the visibility was less and less, and it was like a dense fog hung in the air. People were walking in 6 inches of ash, the results of tons of pulverized concrete from the destroyed and collapsed buildings. When I got to Church Street, it looked like a scene from a movie where planets collided and nothing was left. The only problem was there was no director yelling, "Cut." This was real. Hmm. On my right, dozens of ambulances were lined up with their doors open, waiting for the injured who never came. Coffee carts were sitting empty, donuts and bagels covered in ash. I thought just yesterday, I was in Century 21. Now its windows were broken and it was badly damaged. Streets were buried beneath dust, twisted steel and concrete. Some piles were over 50 feet high. Piles,
wow.
50 feet high. Smoke hung over the ruins, creating a cloud that covered as far as I could see, which wasn't very far. And the smell was nauseating. I was covered in dust from head to toe. I walked around. I stepped over body parts and saw a wheel from one of the planes. I covered hundreds of crime scenes all over the city, reported on serial killers, talked to murderers in jail. I remembered when 87 bodies were laid out in a gas station on Southern Boulevard in the Bronx after the Happy Land fire. And goes back into all the other memories, including the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And those things did not prepare me for that day. Mm. I mean, it's painting a picture, because for most of us, the vast majority of us, all we'll ever see is whatever film footage was taken. And you know that when things are immense, it's like taking pictures of a mountain. Mm-hmm. You can't truly capture the essence of what it was like. And it, through film, it just doesn't do it justice. It was so much bigger and so much more tragic.
Wow. Dramatic memories from anybody who was there, near there, during the event, after the event. You know, firefighters and first responders from around the country were going up for weeks and weeks and weeks after that, doing what they could. It looked like something that could never be cleaned up. And yet, here we are with a brand new tower, the memorial, the museum, and 25 years of history to look back on and think, what do we do now? How do we move forward? It's a very special day. Thank you for remembering. 928, The Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. Thanks for listening to 97.3 The Sky.
A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
We need to remember those heroes on that day, September 11th, and those that protect our freedom today.
Approaching 9:37, it is the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. Appreciate you listening today as we all remember where we were, commemorate those lives who were lost. And it is certainly, Bob, one of those things that, just like maybe folks a little older than us, remember where they were when JFK was assassinated. For a lot of folks, generationally, 9/11 is something that they will never forget.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting analogy, JFK. You're right. We were just... wee little babies. Mm-hmm. And you knew that was a punch in the gut to Americans. You know, even people who didn't vote for this guy, still he had these, you know, incredible qualities about him, a great sense of charisma. Mm-hmm. And he was a younger guy. And, you know, the future of America, we'd turned the corner after World War II. We saw the economic growth of the 50s and beginning of the 60s. And I got to tell you, everybody, you know, the mood, from my understanding, talking to my parents, was, you know, people were pretty upbeat. You know, the future just looked so bright. And that was one of those moments that was really a kick in the gut. And that loss was felt and felt for a while. But it didn't have, other than that Zapruder film or whatever, there just wasn't the pictures like the world we live in with cameras and video today.
Right.
And what we experienced as 9/11 was literally unfolding in live time in front of the eyes of the world. It, that part of it, it's, you know, nothing can serve as an example to parallel that, I don't think.
And so we are, again, that slightly younger generation. We would have seen those buildings being built at, you know, at certain points of our life. And then, again, as I mentioned earlier, any film, any TV show ever shot with any scene in New York City, you had to include those towers, just as you would have the Empire State Building decades earlier, because that was such an iconic part of America. And you didn't think of anything but New York City structurally, because that was just so outstanding and amazing.
And if you're one of the families that was directly touched by this terrorist attack, I don't think that, you know, those wounds will never truly heal.
No.
You know, young people, you know, what if you were 10 or 11? You're old enough to kind of understand a lot of things. And then you lose, let's say, a mother or a father due to that tragedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to stick with you. And then you find out that here we are 25 years later, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still alive and being held in Guantanamo Bay along with four of his alleged Al-Qaeda cronies. That I wonder what that does. That certainly can't be a good feeling or a feeling of allowing some healing to take place. And some of the people responsible for it, they still have their lives.
It makes you wonder why. And maybe we've just not asked the right people. Why is that? I mean, that is a very legitimate question that you bring up.
Well, 9/11, obviously complicated. Terrorism and all the laws on the books and all that stuff, you know, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And holding somebody as a warfare combatant and all those things, that this was like a first time kind of thing on many different levels. So I know that complicates it. Our legal system is designed to truly protect what could possibly be an innocent person against a, you know, an innocent person being found guilty. That's our criminal justice system set up that way to, you know, to protect everybody. Hopefully you get the guilty and you get it right, but the system does err on the side of, you know, not getting it wrong, so to speak.
True.
I guess that I'm defending some of the reasons why there's been such a delay. But yeah, even when I do that, I say, 25 years, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so then that brings the next question in moving forward, because now we are here 47 years later, still dealing with Iran. We've dealt with all these things, again, primarily the Middle East, again, because an ancient, old school way of thinking, a whole different way of life compared to what we live in America. You mentioned the times we've tried to bring freedom to these countries. They don't want it. They don't understand it. And we can't put our mindset on them. So we almost have to deal with them at their level to make an impact. So I guess the question is, what do we do moving forward when these things happen?
I mean, I touched on this. You know, human nature, it is tricky.
Yeah.
You think of things, it is always simpler to point blame at others for whatever predicament you're in. Blame others that you're not wealthy. Blame others that you're not healthy. Blame others for the condition of your country, its economy, and all of that. Come up with a straw figure. Come up with an enemy. All of that is easier in human nature than it is to really look inside yourself.
Right.
And so as long as a culture, that's why, you know, I have issues with the left, because they want to constantly play the blame game. Oh, don't worry, young man. You're not supposed to read well. You're black. I know I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically the message. Hey, you know what? We're going to give you some extra points on your test because you're black. I mean, how that defies, you know, logic and moving forward. You know, you've got to study. You've got to work hard. You've got to do all the things that you need to do. And if you're allowed to play the blame game, in this case, you know, world politics, oh, the United States is evil. They're our enemy. Really? How exactly does that work? How is America limited what you're doing? We didn't pick your leaders. You did. If you live under oppression or a strong religious kind of rule, that's up to you. We don't have anything to do with that. It gets very, very complicated. But again, you have to question, how is taking innocent lives make your life better, so to speak? How does that work? Generally, it doesn't.
No, but I guess if you convince generationally, you convince people of your way of life. Now, we look at Iran as an example. Before 47 years ago, it wasn't a bad place to live. For a Middle Eastern country, a very Western style of life. Women could go to school. They could drive. They could work. They could do all the things in a normal way. They dressed Western, in a Western style of clothing. And so they had to then have the hammer down brought on them by their leadership, which has brought them to where they are today. But we see that with so many of these countries and those ways of life. It is that ancient way of life and that ancient thinking that, unfortunately, it doesn't take long, just as we can lose our freedoms in a generation, it doesn't take long for those next young men, especially that we talk about being military age, to fall in to that mentality because that's all they know. It's like a gang mentality. And if you have no parental unit, no male role model, you can easily fall into what is considered normal and expected for you to do.
Yeah, it's interesting how the dynamic shapes up when you paint that picture. When we see Iranians, Persians, living a Western lifestyle like they did 5 or 6 decades ago, we go, look, they had freedom. They had good things. But there is a subculture there that clearly didn't think the same way. In other words, we're looking at it through the only spectrum we have, the only filter we have is our life, yes, our experiences. So we look at it from a Western standpoint, and there's other people, subculture, that say, hey, these advancements, the so-called progressiveness, the so-called worldliness, all that, that leads to death and destruction. That leads to sin, and that leads to, you know, STDs. It leads to rape. It leads to whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll say these are all bad things and that we must return to our religious roots, so to speak, and they do it with a heavy hand.
Yeah, and that is sad because, unfortunately, it affects them generationally, and in this instance, it actually affects the world. I know we've taken lots of angles, lots of things we're looking at, because, yes, it is a very solemn day of commemoration, of remembering, but I think if we only remember the tragedy and don't try to figure out, okay, can we affect the future so that these things don't happen, we have to at least have that conversation. We're coming up on 9:46. I'm Greg Cassidy. It's the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky.
September 11th is forever in our memories. The heroes from that day remind us of the strength of America.
Each of us will remember what happened that day and to whom it happened. We'll remember the moment the news came. Some will carry memories of a face and a voice gone forever.
Wow, it's hard to believe. It has been 25 years, and while normally at this hour, Bob, we would be doing things that make you smile, I think that there is a twist to this day, and that is the good stories, the memories, the heroes. There are so many things that, while a sad day, yes, but yet you can find a bit of a rainbow, if you will, among that storm.
Yeah. And thanks to my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis, who I know, you know, totally understands this kind of a moment, and it's difficult to come up with a smile kind of theme mm-hmm. under this circumstances. However, one of the things, the silver lining that's come out of all of this, a newfound, I think for a lot of people, a newfound really respect and appreciation for first responders in general.
Yes.
I really think that that was huge. I think that the firefighters and the bravery they showed, of course, with law enforcement, I think those were huge. And, you know, a generation that was maybe getting a little complacent about some of these things, mm-hmm. All of a sudden could look around and say, wow, we do have real life heroes that live amongst us. And they're just average people. But they when the call comes in, they answer it like nobody else would.
Well, we kept hearing, you know, all those stories of as the people who were working in those towers, as they were running down the stairs, you know, they're met in those stairwells by firemen and first responders running up the stairs to try to do what they could do.
And look at the other things, the charitable stuff where we support our fighting men and women, you know, tunnel to towers.
Yes.
You know, we've got something closer to home, Soldiers Freedom Outdoors. People have stepped up. People contribute. You can never make the lives whole of those who've been impacted both by 9/11 directly and indirectly. But because we're Americans, because we're awesome and we're generous, we really do contribute and do the best we can to try to make life livable for those who really have been damaged by it.
And then, of course, there were the everyday heroes, some people that maybe were head of security for one of the companies that was there, who had actually made their employees for the years ahead of that go through scenarios where they're like, you know, something bad could happen. And we're, you know, 50, 60, 70 floors up and saved many lives that day and then lost their own life because they went back to make sure everybody was gone. Everyday heroes, people who weren't necessarily first responders, but they were risking it all. They had already made the call to their wife or their husband or their loved one and said, I may not be home. You're watching this on TV and you know what's going on. And yet they stayed to make sure that others got out. And sadly, they then did not. But that just shows what a great spirit and who some of these people, these real heroes were.
Well, and then once again, it comes back to not taking anything for granted. And that includes your family. Look, we travel all the time. People have to for business. We do for pleasure. You get on planes. We take it that, you know, you're going to get to your destination. It's just a matter of what headaches you might endure before, during, or after. Mm-hmm. But in general, we know these things are safe. You're going to work in the morning. You know, you're going to be safe. And we quit taking that for granted for at least a period of time and said, hug your loved ones. Tell them that you love them. Don't assume they know. Let them hear it from you all the time and truly have a sense of appreciation for all the blessings that you do enjoy.
And we take our American way of life sometimes for granted. And it's sad that sometimes it takes a tragedy, something like 9/11 or many things that happen, you know, whether it's a war or just local crime. We don't appreciate it until there's a loss sometimes, I think. And that's kind of sad. We really need to be more optimistic and more forward thinking, a little more positivity, I think.
Yeah. This is a time to pause, to reflect on what has occurred. What can we learn from it? The good, the bad, the ugly, but pushing forward. Taking the best and moving forward with the best we can be individually and as Americans, and we should strive toward that goal every day.
Yeah. And so maybe I'm hoping that as we move forward, we can maybe pick up a little bit on that, maybe have a reminder of how fortunate and how blessed we really are to be Americans. We are at 9:55 now, 5 away from 10. I'm Greg Cassidy. This is The Bob Rowe Show. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. And, of course, it's going to be different today because today is a different kind of day. May we all have an attitude of gratitude and really hug those and tell those close to you that you love them. And also remember, we live amongst heroes. Could you answer the call? Yep. And let's all keep our head on a swivel. We're Americans. We can do this. And that is your smoking gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Harry Beckwith Guns and Range in Micanopy. Thank you so much for your patience And thank you for supporting what we do. We appreciate you. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe weekend. And don't forget, go Gators! See ya.